Please be seated. Well, as we continue in our study, I want to encourage us to kind of take note of all of the different things that we've gone over so far. And the reality of all of it is that we need to remember how God is not only being faithful to his people, but again, demonstrating his power before Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And the sole purpose was to reclaim what rightfully belonged to him, which were his people. And as we continue to, you know, look at these things, I want to try and bring them to practical application for us today, because if you've accepted Christ into your heart, guess what? You belong to him. And the things that we see and the things that we're taking in, these are promises that God still gives to us today. And so, you know, there's one thing for sure that we are going to experience. If you have a genuine relationship with the Lord, this is an absolute guarantee it's going to happen. And that is, when you love Jesus, the enemy is going to come and mess with you. He's going to come and do whatever he can to remove God out of the picture, to cause you to doubt. He's going to persecute you in some ways. And again, Jesus himself said, you belong to me, and I'm not praying that God would take you out of this world. I'm actually praying that God would send you forth into the world, but he prayed that God would protect you from the enemy. So we have an amazing defender, beloved. Do you understand that tonight? Can I encourage you with this, that no matter what you go through, if you completely trust in the Lord, he will be your greatest defense. He will be your greatest defender. And so I know it's part of our natural nature when somebody comes up against us, or, you know, somebody attacks us or whatever, that our natural nature is to defend ourselves. And that's, again, the old nature. But, beloved, we're called to put away the old and live in the new. So these passages, I pray today, would encourage us that we can trust in the Lord. But as we look at chapter 9, we're going to look at three more plagues: cattle, boils, and then hail. But the first thing we see in verse 1 is that God continued to speak to Moses and to Aaron. And this is kind of a repeat. His message hasn't changed. All Moses had to do was be that messenger, and he appeared before Pharaoh, and he delivered the famous message again: let my people go, so that they may serve me. And God, again, as not only did the message stay the same, he once again shared a warning. And I want you to take note of this, because the next plague that we're looking at is the severe pestilence upon cattle. But listen carefully. This would be a deadly disease that would cause major death. And this is what the Lord said: behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field. And the word behold here means to look, and not just a small glance. Okay? Let me put it to you this way. Ladies, when you're out and about and you are supposedly window shopping, and all of a sudden you see those big red signs that say clearance sale, everything must go. Right? But here's the truth. That doesn't mean it has to go to your house. Okay? But I understand it catches your attention. You're fixed upon it. You're checking out the sign. And this is what God is basically saying to Pharaoh. Listen, I'm going to warn you. If you refuse to let my people go, look at me. Like, check this out. This is what's going to happen. This isn't just a hey, just check this out if you want to. No, you're going to need to look carefully at what's going to happen. Pay attention. And sure enough, he says, my hand, the hand of the Lord, will be on your cattle in the field. And it'll be upon your horses, your donkeys, your camels, your oxen, your sheep, anything that was out in the field. And once again, this is something that I don't want us to miss, because every single one of these animals were important. From the horse, you know, whether it was transporting Pharaoh in his chariot, or even at a time of war, horses were important. Camels, donkeys, and oxen were all used to carry heavy loads. You know, when we were in Israel just recently, we watched this little video clip when we were, I believe it was in the city of David, right before we went into Hezekiah's tunnel. But every time we go, there's usually a few people in our group who say, how in the world did they get these walls so high and these stones that are so heavy? How did they move them? They didn't have any cranes back then. And on this video, it's amazing how they demonstrated how back in that time, stones would be put upon each other. Now, I want you to picture a wheel. And inside that wheel is a rectangular square. So as they would chisel away at these rocks, they'd place these round wheels with the rectangular squares, plop them in, and then they would get camels, donkeys, bulls, oxen, water buffalo, whatever had strength. And it was those animals, and these big old stones would just roll into place. It's pretty fascinating to me. Maybe that didn't excite you, but it excited me. It answered that question for me, okay? But these are all things that were needed. Carrying heavy loads, plowing fields, transporting supplies, you know, even for the sheep, their clothing. All of these things mattered. And God was about to attack these things. And one of the other important parts that we're seeing as we go through these plagues is for the Egyptians, of course, this plague would cause much suffering. For without cattle, everything would stop. From the work on the buildings to plowing fields, nothing would take place. No transportation of supplies and being able to go to certain places. And so God says, my hand is going to be upon you if you refuse to do these things. And even with this one plague, with all of these different animals that have been mentioned, there were several different gods that the Egyptians believed in that depict whether a bull, and this was a bull marked with white markings. It had a sacred collar along with this sun-beaming crown. I should have brought up some pictures so that you could see these things. But this was a god of fertility and a god who also was known to control the underground, the under-earth, or hell, in a sense. And sure enough, God would just trample over him. The other god was the god of the sun, the creator god in their viewpoint. This is the one god who had divine power to sustain life. And this was the god Ra or Re, however you want to pronounce it. The next god that God would attack of the Egyptians was the goddess of love, beauty, and joy. And when this deadly pestilence would come upon these cattle, listen, and upon even men, listen carefully, there would be no lovely pictures. There would be no beauty in it. And there would definitely not be any joy. And so the other god that he would obviously, you know, attack, and we're going to see this a little bit more, but none of these gods would be able to help Pharaoh or his people, the very gods that they trusted in. One by one, God is getting ready to attack all of them. And as he would, you know, attack one again, it would be an opportunity for them to see that there was only one God. But the other thing that was amazing in God's, you know, way of laying things out, not only am I going to attack your gods, but I'm going to make a distinct difference between my people and your people. God would be able to separate all of the things that were going to happen upon Pharaoh. Again, God was going to pour out his power and wrath upon Pharaoh and his people and upon his livestock. But here's what I want us to see. Through all of these things, God's hand of judgment was upon Pharaoh, but his hand of deliverance was upon his people. And again, as I shared with you before, as we walk with the Lord, we are going to experience some challenges. And some of those challenges, you're going to wonder, why am I getting hit with this? You're going to wonder at times, you know, how did this even happen to me? You know, I remember one morning when I was working with my brother in construction. It was about 5:30 in the morning. We're in a truck. We're trying to catch the freeway. And we're just kind of talking, going about the, you know, morning, trying to get to work. And all of a sudden, this car pulls up right next to me. Guy rolls down his window, and he just starts going off, yelling, saying some colorful words that I will not repeat in church. And I'm wondering, like, do you know this dude? And I'm looking at my brother. I'm like, do you know him? Is this a joke? And he's all like, I don't know him. And he was just going off. And the next thing I know, it's like, okay, if we stop at a stoplight, this was BC, before Christ, okay? But if this brother opens up that door, man, it's on. And sure enough, you know, I think God's hand was still even upon me in my foolishness. But he never allowed the light to turn red, and we went one way and they went another. But it's like, what was that all about? Did I look like somebody that offended him? Did he mistake me for another good-looking guy? I have no idea. But sometimes things are going to come at you where you wonder, where did that come from? And the enemy is good at blindsiding us. He is really good at it. And I just want you to kind of take note as we go through this chapter how good our God is. Because he's given us his word. And he's warned us that persecution's coming. If they persecuted me, Jesus, they're going to persecute you. You're not greater than the Lord. None of us are. We're going to experience it, but hold on to what we see. Hold on to the truth of what the scriptures are saying. And again, God is going to be our greatest defender. And sure enough, God is going to prove this by not allowing anything to happen to his people or their cattle. And in verse 5, listen, the Lord also revealed his sovereignty in the fact that he's in control of all things. And how do we see that? That the Lord set the appointed time for all of this to go down. And I want you to think about this because this is important. God's mercy and his patience is being seen here. One of the beauties that we see is that God didn't have to give Pharaoh any more warnings. God could have just, you know, taken care of him, you know, brought all of that wrath upon him. He didn't have to give him a warning. And yet, here's what I want us to see. I'm even going to tell you what time this is going to happen, and it's tomorrow. Do you guys see God's mercy in this? I'm giving you 24 hours to change your mind about what you're getting ready to do. That's pretty powerful. Listen, even though Pharaoh has mistreated his people, he's saying, tomorrow, another 24 hours, I'm giving you an opportunity to know what's coming and to change your mind. And so hopefully we will be able to, you know, if God ever speaks something like this to us, that we would obey, right? But in verses 6 and 7, God continued to follow through with this plan. And so the Lord did everything that he said he would do. All of the cattle that belonged to the Egyptians were affected by this plague. Notice what it says in verse 6. Let me pick up in verse 5. Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But the livestock of the children of Israel did not. Not one die. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. So again, The Lord did exactly what he said he would do. And when this pestilence and when this plague came upon all of the cattle, it says that every one of the animals out in the field perished. They died. This disease that God brought upon them affected them. And of course, what did Pharaoh do? He did exactly what any person would have done. Go check and see if anything happened to the cattle of God's people. And when he went and he discovered that none of God's people were affected with this plague. God making a difference, set aparting his people. And again, God's hand of judgment was upon Pharaoh, but his hand of deliverance was upon his people. Let's pick up in verse 8 to 12. Notice this. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of ash from a furnace and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh, and it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on men and beasts throughout all the land of Egypt. Then they took ash from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward the heaven, and they caused boils that broke out in sores on men and beasts. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians on all the Egyptians. Listen to this, verse 12. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. So here in this next plague, plague number 6, the plague of boils that will come upon all men and beasts. Listen, this is going to be, again, a little bit of time here we're going to spend. But as God continued to move on and show his power, this particular plague, he didn't warn Pharaoh. He brought it upon him immediately. So without warning, Moses and Aaron did exactly what the Lord commanded them to do. He took up some ashes from a furnace, and now God's using Moses. He didn't use Aaron, but he used Moses. And as Moses scattered the ashes up towards the heaven, he did this in the sight of Pharaoh to make sure that he understood what was going to happen. And so as Moses did this, it says here that the ashes turned to dust, and the dust caused boils, which are painful sores. Has anybody ever had a boil? I have. It's no fun. But not only did they break out upon all the men, but all the animals as well, the beasts that were on the field, or the beasts that they had. And some of you might be wondering, well, wait a minute, Pastor. Didn't you say in verse 6 that all the beasts died? Again, remember, those that were out in the field. There must have been some that were kept safe, some that weren't out in the fields, that weren't affected by this plague, but now those ones are being affected. And sure enough, as we look at this, I want you to understand, Moses, again, following through with the Lord's command, everything happened the way that the Lord said it would, and then we hear about Pharaoh's magicians again. But this time, notice the difference. Pharaoh would call them out. They'd come do their thing. They would duplicate, make matters worse for Pharaoh's own people instead of reversing. Now they can't even come before him because why? Their bodies are filled with boils. God revealing again his power over them. And here's what I want us to see as everybody is now, from just the animals to now men and animals, painful sores all over your body. Again, this isn't a joyful time. This isn't a beautiful time. God is just destroying every single one of their gods that they believe in. But what catches me at verse 12, but the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And this is the first time that we read this phrase, that God was the one who hardened Pharaoh's heart. And what's important for us to point out is this, that all throughout the last five plagues, we always read, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And so, as you look at this, the reason why it's so important to spend a little time on this is because God does not force anyone to believe in him or follow him. So why am I bringing this up? Because God basically gave Pharaoh over to what was already in his heart. Remember, the five previous times, it said it very clearly. His heart hardened. His heart refused. His heart didn't believe in who the God of the Hebrews was. He completely ignored, rejected, and turned away. And every time his heart got harder and harder and harder. And here is where I want us to remember this, because again, if we can hold on to this truth about God never forcing anybody, Lord willing, listen carefully, this is going to help us to be able to minister to other people. And why do I say that? Because all God is asking of us today is to share of who he is. He is the only one who can change your heart, but he never forces people to believe in him. Have you ever, read in the Bible that it says, share the gospel, and if people don't believe, hit them upside their head with your Bible? Does it ever say that? Does it ever say, share the gospel, and if they reject you, then don't ever ask them again? Does it say that? No, it doesn't. And the reality is that whenever God's word goes forth, it's for the purpose of giving people an opportunity to believe. And every single sign, every single thing that God has been doing, again, it's not just attacking, but giving Pharaoh an opportunity to see who the one true God is. And with every plague and with every powerful act that God has done, I think all of us can sit back and go, man, Pharaoh, what's wrong with you? Can't you see? You're going to lose. And we know that because we have it all in our hands. We can read the next few chapters and we all know what happens. But the reality is this. Pharaoh's attitude was also seen in Romans chapter 1. In what way? God's wrath was pointed out against the ungodly and the unrighteousness of men. Even though God gave proof to every single person in this world of who he is, I want you to hear this phrase. Therefore, God gave them over to the desires of their heart. I want to read to you from Romans chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in their lust, in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, who worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. All through this section in Romans chapter 1, God revealed who his wrath was going to go out upon. And it was all those who turned in the truth, exchanged the truth for a lie. And the reality is this is exactly what Pharaoh was doing. So God not only gave Pharaoh over to what was already in his heart, it wasn't God who hardened his heart. God allowed his heart to be the way that it was, to continue to grow hard, not forcing him to believe. And this is where I want to encourage you today, because God's not going to force you. But I can say this, that if you are not digging in and spending time with the Lord, don't ever expect that your walk is going to be strong. Don't ever expect that God's just going to come in and do these amazing things in your life if you're not willing to give God your heart. There's no way. I've never seen an on-fire Christian who never reads, who never fellowships, who never prays, who is never looking for ways to serve the Lord. I've never seen that happen. But I can tell you when a person is seeking after the Lord and gives his heart to the Lord, and a person is on fire for the Lord, man, it's contagious. And I pray that we would understand that God is not a God who forces people. He gives you opportunities. And if we walk in obedience, we're going to see the beauty of who he is. But when we disobey, don't ever think that blessings are going to come your way. And so not only did God give Pharaoh over to what was already in his heart, but now I want to pick up in verse 13, and let's read up to verse 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. And as you exalted yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go, behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause a very heavy hail to rain down, such as had not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the fields, for the hail shall come down on every man, every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field." So here now we're getting ready to enter in plague number 7. And we're going to see this one all the way to the close of chapter 9. But this is the plague of hail. And again, we see God speaking to Moses the exact same thing. Again, sharing the exact same message. But I also want us to notice verses 14 all the way up to verse 17. God, once again, showing how merciful he is by giving Pharaoh another opportunity, another warning. If you continue to refuse my request, you will face consequences. So God is warning him. God is giving him an opportunity to change his mind. And in verse 14, basically what God is revealing is that if you refuse, I'm going to pour out greater plagues than what you've already experienced. And now it's going to hit to the core. It's going to hit you harder than anything that I've done so far. Remember, he attacked the Nile, and then he brought all of those creepy-looking animals. Remember the frogs in the bedroom and in your bed? Remember that? I wouldn't want that. I don't know about you. Some of you like frogs. That's a little weird. But here, he's saying, everything I've done, there hasn't really been much hitting you in your heart, your core. And now, if you continue to refuse and reject what I'm asking, it's going to pierce you. It's going to get even heavier and harder. And so, sure enough, not only did God say, I'm going to pour out greater plagues, there's going to be a stronger judgment coming upon you. And then God explains why. Why did God want Pharaoh to know what he was doing? And there was a purpose behind it. What was it? So that not only Pharaoh, but all the world would know that there is no God like him. There is only one true God. He says here, I'm doing this for the sole purpose of being able to reflect my power. And again, God's mercy being demonstrated here. Look at verse 15. God continues to reveal, I could have destroyed you. I could have taken you out very clear, plainly and clearly. If I would have brought my full force upon you, you would have been cut off from this earth. But here it goes, verse 16, for this purpose, and I want to read verse 16 in the New American Standard Version. Listen to what it says here. But indeed, for this reason, I have allowed you to remain in order to show my power and in order to proclaim my name throughout all the earth. As God was doing these things to Pharaoh in Egypt, it was a demonstration to the whole world of how powerful God is, how God is there for his people, how God will defend his people. And so this amazing picture of God's mercy and patience here, we would hope that it would have, possibly turned Pharaoh's heart. But as we look at this, what did Pharaoh do? Even though God gave him this moment of just saying, listen to this. And I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you. But I remember living in the Philippines. And we came back home for a visit, but we made sure that we came at a very specific time. And it was when my son Andrew was graduating from high school. And so we went to his graduation. The whole family went. And after the graduation, I had a little alone time with him. And when I was walking down the street with him, I was asking him, so what are your plans? What do you have a desire to do? And he started sharing, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to, this is going to be my career. And I got this laid out. I'm going to go to here, and then I'm going to graduate here, and then I'm going to go to this school. And I really want to become a computer programmer. That was his heart's desire. And of course, he had a girlfriend at the time. And so after I let him finish talking, I grabbed him by his face. Not mean, but as a father, I wanted to make sure that he was listening to me. And I looked him dead in the eye and I said, Drew, I love you. And I think that you have thought this through, but now I want to share my heart with you, and I just need you to block everything out and give me your undivided attention here. And what I wanted to do at that moment was pour my heart into him. I wanted him to know the mistakes I made. I wanted him to know so that he would be careful with the steps that he was taking. I wanted him to know, if you truly have a desire to have this in your life, then commit to it. Don't go into it half-hearted. Listen, college should only be 4 years, not eight, unless you're a doctor. You should not become a professional student. But if you really want this, here's my heart, and I want to share this with you. Now, I believe that with each one of these verses that we just looked at, again, behold, look, understand, I'm laying this out for you. I will bring my wrath upon you, but it doesn't have to be that way. I'm willing to tell you what's going to happen before it happens. I'm here to prove to you that I'm greater than your gods. And when I'm done, everyone's going to know who I am. I need you to listen to me. I need you to look at me. I need you to understand this, even for Pharaoh. And this is what I love about God, because I'm so thankful that he doesn't give up on us. I'm so glad that when we mess up, he doesn't kick us to the curb and say, I'm tired of you. That's not who our God is. And I'm so thankful that we're seeing this unfold, because it does demonstrate God's mercy. It demonstrates his patience. And it demonstrates that even if you rejected him, that he is still willing to extend a hand. Just believe me. I'm not going to force you, but believe me. And so, again, Pharaoh ignored the warning. And in verse 17, Pharaoh must have thought he still had a chance against the Lord because he still refused to let God's people go. Verse 18, God says, behold, look again. Tomorrow is when all of this is going to go down. Tomorrow, again, another 24 hours of God's mercy going out. God set the time. And he told Pharaoh exactly what this plague would be. And God even told Pharaoh what to do in order for his people not to suffer. And he did that in verse 19. Send out men and tell the people, you know, tell the people to get out of the field and to come in. There's going to be a bad hailstorm. God told him what to do. Don't tell me that's not love. You have an opportunity to escape this, and you have an opportunity for your people to escape this. And it is pretty interesting because in verse 20 to 21, we can, I think, put the pieces together and connect the dots that Pharaoh actually did it. That he sent messengers out into the fields, warning his people, telling them what to do. And how do we see that? Because it says that some who heard what was happening, what would happen, those feared God, those who feared God, took heed. They brought themselves in from the field. They brought their animals in from the field. So there was a messenger that was sent out. I find it pretty crazy that he would listen to that and not everything else that God laid out for him. But yet, here's the thing. Some believed it would happen, and the others, as same as Pharaoh, refused to believe it. They ignored the warning. And so now let's pick up in verse 22 to verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on men, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, and all that was in the field, both men and beast, and the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Again, God showing his power, God doing exactly what he said he would do, and God delivering his people from this plague number 7 of hail. And I want you to notice this description. As, you know, God did what he said he would, he sent down thunder, hail, and fire. That must have been a pretty wild scene. A severe hailstorm like never before. And notice the effect of it. It not only hit man, it hit animals. It also hit the fields. Every herb was destroyed. Every tree was destroyed. So take note of this. For all those who chose to ignore God's warning suffered these consequences. And not only was it devastating, but again, it cost people's life. It cost animals' lives. It destroyed their food. It destroyed the work that their hands must have been doing. God was completely shutting them down. But yet God, in his amazing love and defense for his people, verse 26, it says very clearly that he made a distinction. He made it known, none of this is going to come upon my people. They are going to be set free from these things that you're going to experience. And not one single animal, Not one single hail drop fell in the land of Gershon. And so notice with me, verse 27, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, and you're going to need to come back next Wednesday to find out what happens. But what's our takeaway for tonight? As I was writing this, I hope I made the change correctly. I didn't. Okay. The two things that are up here, we're going to focus on. But I want to flip the order. And what do I mean by that? What is our takeaway for tonight? What is it that I want you to walk away from this portion of Scripture? Is knowing that God is our great defender. I want you to turn to Psalm 62. And we want to read this with you together. Psalm 62, beginning in verse 5. Verse 5, my soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is God. Let's go ahead and read verse 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And it has that word Selah. And if ever any of you ever wondered what does that word mean, it means to stop, pause, and meditate on what was just said. Notice the beauty of God being our great defender. I want you to understand and know that today, no matter how hard it gets, no matter what kind of persecution comes your way, we know that God is not only our defender, but if God has opened up a door for you to be in a specific place, no one will be able to shut it. That's God's promise. And I get it. I understand when you're in the heat of it, you don't see it. And you may not see it because of what's in front of you. But this is why it's so important for you to hang on to God's word here. And not just here, but meditating upon it here. Because it is your mind and your heart that's going to help guard you from giving in to what you see. And if you give in to what you see, I guarantee you, you're going to be led by your emotions. You're going to forget about who your trust is in, and you're going to try and help God out. Has any of you ever made that mistake? Jumping ahead of God and trying to give him advice? You know what, Lord? I think you should do it this way. Let me help you out. That's a dangerous place to be. But today, we know that persecution is going to come. We know what the Word of God says, that in the last days, things are going to get darker. But for us as believers in Christ, remember that God is your defender. Another good thing to remember, listen carefully, write this down. It's deep, okay? Are you ready? God already won. He won. So if he won and we belong to him, that guess what? We win. It's kind of like the Chicago Bulls when Michael Jordan was playing. Who cares? I sat on the bench. I got 5 rings. You reap the benefit. Jesus won it all. It's done. God got the victory. And if we're in Christ, that victory is ours. This is why we have to hold on to God as our great defender. The other thing that we need to praise God for, again, is his mercy. What is his mercy? What does that word mercy mean? Not getting what we truly deserve. As many times as we see Pharaoh turning away from what God is warning him and warning him and warning him, how many of us have been guilty of that? How many of us have, you know, had selective hearing when God asked us to do certain things? God may be putting it upon your heart. Hey, I want you to go talk to this person. That wasn't God. Mm-mm. Nah. Mm-mm. Some of us may be hearing the Lord say, get out of your comfort zone. Do these certain things. I'm calling you to do these things, and you keep, but Lord, I can't. Lord, you make every excuse like Moses. Look at what God's doing with Moses. If you're willing to trust the Lord, and if he asks you to do something, remember that he's going to help you do it. And even if you fail, listen, I would rather have you fail trying to do what God's asking you to do than fail and not do anything. You guys understand that? If we're going to fail at anything, especially in our walk with the Lord, may it be because we're trying to walk with him instead of just kicking back and not doing anything. God, help us, because we need his mercy every day, because we're human and we're going to blow it. We're going to make mistakes, but this is why we need to praise him for his mercy. If you don't know this verse by heart, let's turn. Book of Lamentations. That's in the New Testament, right? Just checking. Just checking, make sure you're awake. Where is it? Yeah, it's in the Old Testament. Where? After Jeremiah. Good student of the word right here. Pastor Guy. I'm still trying to find it. I should have had it marked. I just passed it. Lamentations chapter 3. Look, this is a beautiful verse, guys. Verse 22 to verse 23. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Praise the Lord. That should have been a huge amen right there. Let me hear it. Amen. Even though I asked for it, it's okay. It's a Wednesday night. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I just, can you just let that sink into your heart? May we all remember that every day that we get the blessing of waking up and getting a breath of life, that we would hang on to the fact that God's compassions never fail. That no matter how bad we may think we blow it, God's just looking and waiting for us to turn to him, and he's willing to forgive. Bible says it very clearly. If you confess, he will be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and purify us, bring us right where we need to be. And that's with him. But every day we have this amazing opportunity to experience not just God's mercies, but his compassion. And I'm telling you right now, I am so thankful that he is merciful to me. I'm so thankful that he doesn't give up on us, even though we blow it time and time again. I'm so thankful that we can hang on to his promise that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for God so loved the world. I'm so thankful that we have so many promises of God. So in that time and that season, maybe if we're being hard-headed, maybe if we're being stubborn like Pharaoh, come back to what you know. And that is, God is merciful. And we need to thank him for that and pray that he would help us today to be the men and the women that he's called us to be. Not perfect, though we're called saints. But again, God is looking for hearts that are open and surrendered. And when we do that, beloved, there are no limits to what God can do in your life. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Amen. Worship team, come forward. Father, I want to thank you so much for this time. And I thank you for your word once again. And I pray that as we continue to give you our heart, that as we continue to take in of your truth, that it would literally transform us from the inside out. Lord, help us to see this passage come to life for us and how we can not only trust you, but to remember that you are our great defender. That no matter how difficult, no matter how challenging attacks may be, God, you will be there to defend us. You'll be our shield. You'll be that place of refuge that we all can run to. God, help us not to jump ahead of you, but just to follow after whatever your instructions are in the same way Moses and Aaron did. They didn't change the message. They didn't change the things that you asked them to do. They did everything according to your commands. And you showed up. It was your hand that was against Pharaoh. And Lord, I pray also that none of our hearts would be hard toward you tonight. Would you help us again? If we need to come back to where we first began with you, then Lord, so be it. If it's a recommitment in our heart or just, Lord, forgive me, seeking him and asking for forgiveness for being hard in our hearts. Lord, whatever it may be, we don't want our situations to bum us out. We want to walk in the joy and the victory that we have in Christ today. So God, if this is ministering to anybody in this room, may you touch them. And may you continue to reassure them that your mercies are new, that you will be their defender, and you will give them exactly what they need to overcome whatever is in front of them. So, Lord, thank you again for blessing us with more of you tonight. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, tonight as we continue to worship the Lord, we're going to have a few songs. And Pastor Guy and myself, we're going to be up here in the front. As always, if there's anything that God is stirring in your heart and you need prayer for, we're here for you. We want to place you in the palm of Jesus' hand. We want him to speak into your life and to strengthen you and sustain you throughout this season. And so I know that there are many people who need a touch from the Lord. And tonight, you know, in your quiet time and your ability to continue to pray for people, I want to ask that you would please be praying for Don Grimes. He's sick right now and he's in the hospital. He's one of our elders in our church. Very faithful servant. Gail, if you don't know Gail, she was before Michelle and was the backbone of this church. They served here faithfully for many years. And so this family as well is going through it. And so we want to lift them up. And if there's anybody else that you know of that needs a special touch from the Lord tonight, pray for them. But if you specifically need prayer, please don't let your pride keep you from coming forward and giving it to the Lord tonight. So why don't we all stand? Worship team is going to lead us in a few songs. And again, we'll be up here to pray for you.